The reading today is from Ephesians chapter 1 and reading from verse 1. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
I'm going to hand over to Joshua now.
Good morning, friends. It's nice to be with you, even if only through technology today. As you can see, the Christmas tree is still up because I'm recording this on Epiphany, which marks the end of the Christmas season. And so most folk by now are getting their trees down and getting back to normal rhythm of life. But I have to confess, here in the manse, we're not always the best about getting the tree down on time. That's mostly because we love the twinkling lights and it gives a source of cheer as we continue to wait for brighter and warmer days. So let's pause now and pray together as we prepare to reflect on God's word. Loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of this time together. We thank you for the gift of your written word to us. And we thank you that your whole word points to the reality and love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So as we can consider today's text, may you open our minds and our hearts and our souls to the truth of your word. And may this time draw us closer to Jesus and make us more and more like him. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. So I have a question to start today. What is really real? What is really real? Some years ago, during my graduation ceremony from university back in the United States, this was the question asked by Dr. Forrest Baird, who is a professor of philosophy at Weyworth University. What is really real? And that sounds like the kind of question a philosophy professor might ask, and it might tempt us to roll our eyes and ask, what a silly question. We all know what is really real. What's going on here? But maybe, just maybe, it isn't a silly question. We all like to think we know what is really real. We all, to some degrees, have our bodily senses, up to 5 of them. You know? We have our gut instincts. We have our brains, all of which tell us what is really real. We also have our past experience as well, to help us understand what is really real. There's just one problem. Our senses, our experiences, our guts and our brains are all limited things. Every part of who we are is impacted by our human nature, which, whether we admit it or not, is broken and sinful. No one's exempt from this, right? I like the imagery that one of the early church fathers, Augustine of Hippo, gives, where he talks about there's like a cloud around our senses. And Augustine would say it's a cloud of sin. We could say a cloud of brokenness that kind of obscures the truth from us. that until God removes this cloud, you know, and helps us to see things as they are, we can't really know what is really real, right? This isn't the end of the story. God has given us a great gift of Holy Scripture, and through the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through the words into our lives, transforming us, Scripture shows us what is really real. Namely, the offer of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most really real thing of all. And I think in different ways, every part of Scripture reminds us of what is really real. And no part of Scripture does this better, at least, than Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This first part of which we heard read a few minutes ago. And here in Kemne, over the next several weeks, we're going to do what I'm going to call a deep dive into this letter. A deep dive. So as we continue another new year, I think we will all do well to spend time in Ephesians. It's just 6 chapters, but there is so much in here for us to consider and to learn from that I hope as we ponder this letter together, we'll all stay rooted in the really real reality of God's saving work in Jesus Christ. So in this letter to the Ephesians, we are drawn into what is really real. And later on in this first chapter, Paul tells us exactly what he is praying that we will see when he says, I pray that the hearts, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Now, just a word about this letter to the Ephesians. As we might know, every single one of Paul's letters was addressed to a specific person or to a specific place, to the saints in Rome, the saints in Corinth, Galatia, to Timothy, to Titus, you know, places and people and so on, right? And Ephesians, in one way, is quite different. Yes, we have this text in front of us that says, to the saints in Ephesus, right? Yeah. But the earliest manuscripts we have of the New Testament do not have those words in Ephesus. They're likely a later addition to the text. And then what does this mean? It means that the letter that we know and we have in our Bibles as Ephesians was probably a type of a chain letter that Paul sent around to all of the churches under his care, right? But this little fact, it changes nothing about the letter's meaning or its authority. It's still very much the Word of God. And what this means is this letter to the Ephesians, its entire message is directly addressed to Christians in every time and in every place. And that's true of the whole New Testament, but I think it's especially true of Ephesians. We're free to put our own names and our own place in this letter. So it's not too much for us to read Ephesians 1:1-2 like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Kemne, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's focus on these two verses of today's reading. And let's consider what God may be wanting us to hear from these today, focusing especially on these opening verses. After he introduces himself to us, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, how does he address his audience, those who are hearing or reading these words? What does he call them? He calls them an S word, saints. Now, I think maybe we all have a picture or an idea in our minds of what it might mean to be a saint. You might think of someone who seems perfect, nearly so. But this is not what the New Testament means, not what Paul means when he calls his listeners saints. Instead, a saint is someone who is claimed by God. A saint isn't claimed because of virtue, talents, or good looks. Instead, a saint is claimed by God's free, gracious choice. Put it another way, saints are saints because of who God is, not because of who they are. And after Paul acknowledges where they live, in Ephesus, in Chemnay, Paul refers to his listeners as faithful in Christ. Faithful in Christ. Now, on the one hand, Paul is acknowledging here that every single believer comes from somewhere unique. He's acknowledging that the Ephesian saints are shaped, their faith is even shaped by being in Ephesus. And the same is true for us. Our lives are shaped where we live as well. Being from Chemnay shapes our lives, and we have to admit it shapes how we live out our faith as well. We're social, contextual beings. We're shaped by our environment. There's nothing wrong with this, just how it is. But Ephesians reminds us and insists on this, that wherever we're from, whether from Ephesus or Chemnay or somewhere else, that God is at work in the life of every saint, especially in the particularities of our lives and our places. But he doesn't stop there. Paul acknowledges where we are from. He's also insistent that we do not end there. God loves us far too much to leave us where we are at. We're called to something greater. We're called to more holiness, to more purity, to more Christ-like living. We're called to transformation. We're called to look beyond where we are to the greater picture of God's coming kingdom. And I think this is what Paul is going after when he addresses the saints as the faithful in Christ. In Christ. Throughout Ephesians, Paul uses the phrase in Christ a total of 36 times. 36 times. And when I was studying for the ministry, one of my teachers was very fond of saying, you know, when the Bible repeats itself, you have to pay attention. 36 times in Christ. And so by calling the saints the faithful in Christ, Paul's reminding each of us where we truly belong. As believers, we do not ultimately belong to Chemnay. We do not ultimately belong to the Church of Scotland. Our ultimate loyalty is not to a building or to an institution. Chemnay could disappear tomorrow. The Church of Scotland could close its doors tomorrow. But none of that would change who God has called and made us to be. The saints, the faithful in Christ. We have our real and only home in Jesus. We have our real and only purpose in Jesus. We have our real and only hope in Jesus, in nothing and in no one else. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we have to remember that we have our identity in Him. So Paul continues to address these faithful in Christ saints by writing, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. At the time when Ephesians was written, grace to you was a greeting common to Gentiles, right, to non-Jews. So these words would have struck a chord with those Gentiles, those non-Jews who heard and read Paul's words. Grace to you, he says. And then the word peace. The Hebrew equivalent is shalom. This was a common greeting between Jews. And these words, peace to you, would have struck a deep chord with those Jews who heard Paul's words at the time. We have to remember the church at the time this letter was written was diverse, comprising both Jew and Gentile. And as we see in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it was a terribly divided church as well. So by extending grace to you, peace to you, Paul was reminding his listeners that there is room in the church for all who repent and all who place faith and hope in Jesus, and the same is true today. And this grace to us. This peace to us is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in these closing words, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is setting the stage, I think, for the rest of this letter. He's already pointing towards the heart of the gospel. He's pointing us, in other words, to go back to our earlier theme, he's pointing us towards what is really real. To live as believers, we need to have a Christ-saturated vision of reality. That is what I think Ephesians and the rest of Scripture wants to offer us. So as we begin this deep dive into Ephesians over the rest of January and onwards, I challenge each of us to prayerfully read through the rest of this letter. Take time to sit with it. Let this teaching on grace to you, peace to you, let it seep into our souls. Let us words about overcoming division shape who we are. Let us words about holding fast to faith and not being blown about by every wind of doctrine. May these words encourage us. Let us teaching about marriage and family life instruct us anew. Let us teach about the armor of God, remind us that God gives us everything we need to live as believers where we are at. And at the start of this new year of 2023, let's embrace God's word anew. Let's live together to what is really real. If we can do that, what a blessed, transformative, and Christ-centered 2023. We will have. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.